Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Chris Sidorek. A new wave of young artists, curators, and other creative types are transforming the region's art scene, just as public and private institutions are injecting millions into the arts. WBUR's arts team, The Artery, has been following the developments and has picked The Artery 25, 25 millennials of color to watch in the arts. And here to tell us about the artists and how they are reshaping Greater Boston is Maria Garcia, WBUR's Arts and Culture Senior Editor. Maria, welcome.
Hi, Chris. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you. So before we get to The Artery 25, tell us, why is this important? Why should people who maybe aren't paying attention to the arts world care?
You know, only because artists produce the physical manifestations of our shared humanity and sort of explain what it means to be human. No big deal. Artists and creative professionals are change agents. I really think that they provide us with sort of fresh ideas, conceptual frameworks on old quandaries, everything from racial equity to gentrification, gender identity. Those ideas produced by artists then sort of shape our culture. Our culture shifts public attitudes, and public attitudes often mold our legislation and our policy.
All right. So let's talk about The Artery 25. You're featuring five of these artists in stories airing all week on WBUR's Morning Edition. Can you give us a bit of an overview who we're talking about?
Yeah, so these are 25 creatives of color who we think you should watch in the next year. They are artists and curators and creative professionals who are shaping the landscape, the cultural landscape in Boston. So we have people like Rasheen Fahandesh, an artist who uses lullabies to help formerly incarcerated fathers connect to their children and their homes. And her artistic practice is shaped by her own experience as a Baha'i woman who had to leave Iran. And somebody else like Sneha Shrestha, who's a muralist who uses Nepali Sanskrit and then uses it with American graffiti, and she's sort of emblematic of somebody who's changing the way Boston, a very sort of tradition-bound city before, who didn't like graffiti up until a few years ago, but who's really sort of shifting the public attitude around graffiti and public art and what public art is, right?
Yeah. So you guys focused on millennials of color. Why did you decide to do that?
So it was an editorial decision. We focused on young people of color because we recognize that diverse creatives have historically been undercredited, underfunded, often unnoticed, and cultural equity, we believe, requires intentionality.
All right. So we said at the top, this comes as institutions are giving millions for art. What changes are you seeing in the region's art scene?
So I really think, arguably, that the city is ripe for an artistic renaissance. There's a renewed sort of financial investment in the arts. It's systemic. We heard from the city last week that awarded the largest ever investment in local arts, $487,000, to more than 200 arts organizations. The Boston and the Bar Foundation's Live Arts Boston grants have infused more than $1.5 million to local artists, 70% of whom are people of color. And that's on top of sort of like long-standing funding mechanisms from the New England Foundation for the Arts and the Mass Cultural Council. So together, they sort of form this very special moment that creates just the right conditions for artists to have the tools they need to take risks, to think big. And that creates a lot of innovation.
Yeah. So money is important, obviously, but it takes more than that to think big, like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. What is it about the artists that you guys have chosen that makes them stand out?
So I really think that they're emblematic of a new generation of creative professionals that's really growing into its power. You know, millennials grew up with a wealth of information. Many of them are digital natives. So they know their respective artistic canons, right? But they're not tethered to them. They're rigorous, but not tradition bound. Sort of they operate in grassroots, sort of community oriented scenes, as well as legacy storied institutions. And they're coming into their own at a time when the arts as a whole, as a sector, is really hungry for diverse voices.
So you've painted a great picture for us, so to speak. Can you give us some specific examples of the artists?
So Leila Bermeo, whom we featured this morning on the air, she's a curator at the Museum of Fine Arts. She's Colombian and Mexican-American. And she just had this seminal moment in her career, Chris. She was a lead curator for a big exhibition at the MFA called Frida Kahlo and Arte Popular, which presented Kahlo in this fresh new way that strayed away from sort of these very tired tropes of a tortured artist and instead focused on sort of her cultural lineage between Kahlo and Mexican folk art. And Bermeo, with her curation, really brought out sort of like these overlooked narratives about Kahlo, and it ended up being, it is right now, a very popular exhibition at the museum.
So I'm guessing probably diverse artists, curators, can really kind of reframe art in a museum in a ways that maybe hasn't been done before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that museums right now as a whole across the country, they covet exhibitions, right, that are tapped to the zeitgeist, that are tapped to the wider culture. And young, diverse curators and creatives and artists are the key to that. They're sort of tapped to the wider culture in authentic, resonant ways that could attract new audiences. So in this case, for example, with Frida Kahlo and Arte Popular at the MFA, all the signage is in English and Spanish, something Leila Bermeo really advocated for. And it has attracted new audiences. For example, Leila told me about some Spanish-speaking cafeteria and cafe workers at the MFA who've been there for over a decade. And Chris, they had never been to a gallery at the MFA. You know, these are individuals who have worked there for many years, and they had never taken the time to go look at the art. And she told me about that in an interview I had with her. So let's listen.
Some of them have told me that they have worked at the MFA for years and never seen an exhibition. And that, like, hurts me because it shouldn't be that way. But if I can do something to break down those barriers, I would do one every year if it meant that I could make these people feel like that museum is theirs.
Wow.
Yeah, so you can just hear how special it was for her, right? That her exhibition had the tone, the cultural cadence that attracted people who perhaps have before never felt like the museum's galleries were curated for their enjoyment, you know? And it's this ability to recognize unnoticed artists, narratives, stories, and bring them to life that I think creatives of color are really exploring right now.
Yeah, it's incredible. Can you give us another example from the Artery 25?
Yeah, so Tori Bullock, a very fun internet artist whose videos about race and gentrification in Boston reach hundreds of thousands of people. So very sort of like sobering topics, right, about housing and equity. But they're funny and irreverent and a little subversive, but also still sort of really cut to the bone. And so here's an excerpt of a video of him talking about housing changes in Boston.
These apartments are popping up so fast. I'm starting to feel like there's some like meteor coming down from outer space into Earth, and Morgan Freeman is standing here like,
so we've been preparing a network of immense
luxury condominiums,
and the rest of us have to just scavenge and sit here and battle each other Mad Max style on the streets of Boston.
Yeah. It does feel like the Thunderdome out there sometimes.
Yeah. So, you know, I think he's also really emblematic of this new Boston, these sort of young, diverse artists who are talking about sort of our social quandaries in new, innovative ways. And yeah, he's part of the Artery 25.
Well, that's Maria Garcia, senior editor of the Artery, WBUR's arts and culture team. Maria, thanks so much for joining us. Great to talk with you.
It's been a pleasure, Chris.
Stay with us. Coming up, how are the Patriots faring as Robert Kraft faces charges and the team loses star tight end Rob Gronkowski? I'm Chris Siderick, and this is Radio Boston.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.